You know, there was a lady, she wasn't a good mother, and her son passed away and went to heaven. And she got saved, and she ended up going to heaven. And as she got up there, she saw her son. And the first thing she said to her son, she said, "Oh, son," she said, "I was such a bad mother, and I wish I would have did this." And the son said, wait a minute, Mom. He said, "Mom, up here, we don't keep record of such things." Amen. Amen. God don't keep record of such things. That when you are positionally right, that God looks at you as being a righteous individual. And people will come and attack your character, attack your past. But God says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?"
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of the Breastplate of Righteousness. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the Breastplate of Righteousness.
What is the difference between God's conviction and Satan's accusations? And, you know, we need to understand this because I think that in order for us to understand this, you know, we need to look at the character of God and the character of Satan so that when these things come in our lives, and you know, one of the main problems with God's people sometimes is that we are not discerning. Things begin to happen to us, and we just let them happen to us, and we don't try to discern where the origin of those things are. And God is speaking and saying, look, you need to understand where this attack is coming from. Remember I said before, we deal with four battles. We deal with a battle with the flesh, a battle with God, a battle with the world, and a battle with the devil. So we got to discern where this battle is coming from in order for us to deal with it. And if we think that we're in a battle with Satan and we're actually in a battle with God, then we're using the wrong tools to fight the battle. So you need to understand the nature of the battle, where the battle was coming from, and then once you understand that, then you can get ready for it. And when you understand where it's coming from, Satan, then you need to gird yourself up and deal with the battle. God's conviction, God convicts us in love. Satan accuses us in hatred. Satan hates you. Don't be naive to think that the devil likes you. The devil, look, the Bible said that he's a murderer. He was involved in the first murder right from the beginning. When Cain killed Abel, according to 1 John, that Satan was the one that inspired him. Satan hates you. People say, well, you know what? I don't mind going to hell because when I get there, all my friends are going to be there and we're just going to have one big party. Well, you know what? You got part of that right. Unless your friends got saved, then yeah, they're going to be there. But you know what? Hell is a place of isolation, and the Bible says weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. And so you can say that I'm going to be with my friends, but they might be in a compartment completely different from yours and to be isolated. And you know the thing about it? See, we got these wrong concepts of hell, too, because you know, we see Satan standing with this pitchfork and pointed tail with you know, red suit and pointed ears, stoking a fire. Well, if you read the book of Revelation, this brother's going, he got to deal with his own problems. You know, he got enough of his own problems. He's not going to be stoking the fire up for you in hell, but he's going to do everything he can to get you there. Satan hates us. Watch this. God uses his word to convict us. Your main source of conviction, somebody help me. Help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. Your main source of conviction should be from the word of God. Now, I'm not saying that God won't work through feelings and God won't work through memories, but your main source of conviction should come from God's word. People say, well, you know, I had this dream. Well, you know, you might have been like me. My wife ordered a pizza last night, and I just ate a couple slices before I went to sleep, you know? And so, you know, sometimes that pizza is speaking to you. Your main source of conviction needs to come from the word. If you get convicted through your feelings and your memories, then you know what? I would put that on the back burner for a moment. I'm not going to say throw it away, but put it on the back burner for a moment and get into this word and let God's spirit minister to you. Because God will convict you from his word. God convicts us to draw him closer, to draw us closer to himself. Satan convicts us, or Satan tries to accuse us so that we will be pushed away from God. So if you find yourself being pushed away from God, it's either one of two things. It's either the flesh or the devil. Because why does God come in to your life and convict you? God convicts you because he loves you. God convicts you because he wants you to draw close to him. And if you're being pushed away from God, you know, that's not God. God will not push you away from him. He loves you too much to push you away. So if you find yourself being pushed away, and some of you may be sitting here this morning, you find yourself drifting further and further away from God. That's not God doing that. That's not God doing that. That's the flesh, or that's Satan. God disciplines us. Satan tries to discourage us. And God convicts us to give us hope. Satan accuses us so that we will give up. So now I went through all that so we can see that that's Satan's job. He is the accuser. He is going to attack you with accusations. And in order for you to be able to stand, God has provided, amen, God has provided a piece of equipment for you to be able to stand. And this piece of equipment is called the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate was a piece of armor that covered the full torso of the soldier. It was made of leather or heavy linen, and onto it were sewn many pieces of metal. The breastplate protected the heart, lungs, and the upper body. God gave us this breastplate. Now, what does this breastplate of righteousness mean for us? We see what it meant for the Roman soldier. What does it mean for us? What Paul was saying, he's saying, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, a literal rendering of the Greek would read, put on for yourself the breastplate which is righteousness. Notice he didn't say, not like a little baby, have your mama dress you, okay? Not like someone who needs to be assisted, but God said, you put it on for yourself. You say, you can't depend on somebody else to put on the breastplate of righteousness for you. They might be asleep. They might forget. They might be doing something else. You got to put it on for yourself. And so that's what Paul says. Make sure that you got on the breastplate of righteousness. The word righteousness refers to a state of being in line with God's holy and true standards for living. That's what it means. See, you know, once again, we put all kind of mystical and magical definitions to sanctification and righteousness and holiness. Let's come on down and boil this thing and make it plain and simple. Righteousness is holy and true living. That's what it is. Don't try to figure out anything else and say that we got to get into the deeper. No, let's deal with the surface. Let's deal with what we can understand, that righteousness is true and holy living. Plain and simple. That's what it is. And Paul is exhorting the Christian soldier to put on the piece of armor that protects against Satan's slanderous attacks, especially in the area of righteous living. Where is Satan going to attack you at? Satan is going to attack you in the area of your righteousness. If he accuses you and you get discouraged, then what happens? Well, you know, this Christian life is just not worth it. I might as well just going back to doing what I was doing before. Satan got you. Well, you know, I was having more fun out there in the world. I might as well going back to what Satan got you. That's an attack of the devil. He attacks your righteousness and he accuses you in your righteousness. And as we look at this, we need to understand that God has given to the believer three types of righteousness. And as we look at these three types of righteousness, we have these to be able to do battle with the devil. The first type of righteousness that we have is what I call positional righteousness. And this is the righteousness that you believe the moment you receive Christ as your Savior. That the minute that you got saved, the minute you got saved, God gave you a positional righteousness. And what does Satan want to do? Satan wants to go back and attack your past life. I don't know about you, but every now and then as I'm riding down the street, I'll have a flashback. And my flashback will be about something that was BC, that was before Christ. And if I'm not careful, Satan can begin to beat me up with that thought. Satan can begin to tear me apart with that thought. If I'm not careful, I'll begin to feel guilty and I'll begin to feel worn down. And then, you know, Satan has won the victory. But I need to realize that I have a positional righteousness, that that God has saved me. Look at Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8. See, positional righteousness frees you from the pointing of Satan. What is the pointing? His accusations. Satan is pointing at you. He's trying to tear you down. And even as you look at Job, what did God say? Have you considered my servant Job? What did Satan do? Pointed a finger. Look, man, the only reason he's serving you is because you bless him. You stop blessing him, and he's going to stop serving you. The accusations were flying. Romans chapter 8 in verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Whoo! Look. Stop on that one for a minute. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? If you're here this morning and you have been saved, you are elected by God. And if you are elected by God, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Now let me ask this question. It's a setup. Who can lay anything to your charge? Satan can't come. He can't bring anything about your past. Man might bring something about your past. But you know what? If you're walking right now, if you're doing right now, God done forgot about it. You know, there was a lady, she wasn't a good mother, and her son passed away and went to heaven. And she got saved, and she ended up going to heaven. And as she got up there, she saw her son. And the first thing she said to her son, she said, "Oh, son," she said, "I was such a bad mother, and I wish I would have did this." And the son said, whoa, wait a minute, Mom. He said, "Mom, up here, we don't keep record of such things." Amen. Amen. God don't keep record of such things. That when you are positionally right, that God looks at you as being a righteous individual. And people will come and attack your character, attack your past. But God says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Shall God that justifieth, or is he condemneth? Shall Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen, who is even at the right hand, who also makes intercession for us? He said, look, this is deep. Man, this is deep. Listen to this. He said the two people that could condemn you. He said, number one, God won't, because God won't condemn you because he's justified you. Christ won't condemn you because he's making intercession for you. The only two that could won't. Amen. Amen. And then Paul goes into this. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Man! Nobody can condemn you. Satan can't condemn you. Somebody said when Satan reminds you of your past, you tell him about his future. That'll shut him up right there. Nobody can condemn you. This positional righteousness, the moment you got saved, God took care of that. Now, here's what we need to be concerned about, the second type of righteousness, and this is what I call practical righteousness, and this is righteousness for day-to-day living. See, the two of these righteousness, positional righteousness and perfect righteousness, there's nothing you can do to affect that other than believing and accepting. There's nothing. Now here's where you come in with this practical righteousness. All right? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. See, here's where you come in. Now, you got to walk in the righteous way. Now, look, God done all this for you. God done made you positionally right. And he says that, look, I'm not going to condemn you, and Christ is not going to condemn you. He's saying, God is saying, all you got to do is exercise practical righteousness. Now, look, I just made you positionally right. Deliverance from the pointing of Satan. I'm going to make you perfectly right, delivering you from the presence of Satan. Now, you got to make yourself practically right, delivered from the power of Satan. See, God delivered us, and sometimes we want to go right back underneath the bondage of Satan. And you don't have to go underneath the bondage of Satan. He says that you are to cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit and perfect holiness in the fear of God. How do we perfect holiness? Well, you perfect holiness, going back to the definition, by doing the right and the true things. That's how you do it. It's as simple as that. When I'm confronted with a choice to do wrong or to do right, I make the choice to do right. When I'm confronted with the choice to make a decision that's good for the benefit of myself and those around me, and one that's not, I choose. That's all righteousness is. That's all that it is. Perfecting righteousness, perfecting holiness. Now, you want to spend some time with God and reading the Bible, and you want to spend some time with him in prayer, and you want to come to the house of God to be fed, and you want to fellowship with the saints. All those things are good. But when it comes down to the bottom line, a righteous person, remember what it said? That Job was a righteous man who loved God. He did one of those and eschewed evil. You know? Job wasn't like Jerome Bettis. See, Jerome Bettis tried to run folk over. Job didn't try to run evil over. Job was Gale Sayers. All right. So you got to shoot. If you see evil coming, you got to get on. You know, one guy wrote in his diary, got up, went down the street, fell into sin. Got up the next day, went down the street, fell into sin. Got up the next day, went down the street, fell into sin. Got up the next day, crossed over on the other side of the street, walked to where I was going. See, sometimes you got to, you just can't keep going down the same road. You know, you can't keep going down. You got to cross the street. You got to move over to the other side. See, God has made you positionally right, and God has made you perfectly right. Now you got to work on the practical part. You know, I told y'all the story about that church that was having a revival, and they were having a revival, and it was on Halloween night, and the man was dressed up in a devil costume, and he was walking down the street, and it started raining and storming, and he wanted to get out of the storm, and so he went into the church, and the pastor looked and saw the man coming in the devil suit, and the pastor just froze. And everybody turned around and started looking, and they saw the devil walking down the aisle. And they started flying, running every direction. And one lady tried to get away, and she got hung up on the pew, and the devil was coming right at her. She said, I've been in the church all these years, but I've been serving you the whole time. You see? See, what does that tell us? That tells us that she wasn't practicing practical righteousness. She might have had positional and perfect, but there was no practical righteousness. God says that you need to have practical righteousness. One more verse. Look at Romans chapter 8, back in Romans chapter 8 again. Romans 8, verse 1. Positional righteousness, that delivers us from the pointing of Satan. Practical righteousness delivers us from the power of Satan. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Look at this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. But now look at the prerequisite, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's practical righteousness right there. You know what? You know what God says? God says that if you are walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh, that you are practically right. That there, you, nobody can condemn you. I remember when I was in Virginia, we were my wife and I was preaching a revival in Virginia Beach, and we were riding down the interstate there, and my wife had fallen asleep. And you know, I was driving down the road, and for some reason my wife woke up at that moment, and when she woke up, there was a state police car, you know, on the other side of the road. And her first inclination was to say to me, slow down. You know, like, and I said, well, you know what? I was only doing 55, so I didn't have to worry about anything. You know what I'm saying? What is that? That's practical righteousness. Policeman couldn't pull me over. I mean, he could have. He would have had, see, now here goes. If he would have pulled me over, he would have had to trump something up, right? Because I knew that I was doing the right thing. I knew I was right. So when you know that you're right, there's either one or two options. Either they can't mess with you, or they got to tell a lie on you to mess with you. That's practical righteousness. Satan can't mess with you. If you're doing right, Satan can't mess with you. Now, that once again, that's why I've been on a crusade to tell everybody, make sure that you got, now I might be talking to somebody this morning. Holy Ghost is telling me. Lord, Holy Ghost is telling me that there's somebody here right now that needs to hear what I'm getting ready to say. All right? When you drive, when I got pulled over in Oklahoma, for no reason at all, when I was taking my son to Arizona, I was so glad I had my insurance. I was so glad I had my license. And I was so glad I had my registration. Because I guarantee you, he pulled me over for absolutely some foolishness, for no reason at all, and then called backup, and had backup right there. Pastor Glade, pastor from Pittsburgh, tried to bolt, got shot. But you know, I didn't have to bolt. You know why a lot of people run and get shot? Because they're not right. Something in your ride is not right. And when it's not right, then that's when you end up doing something you're not supposed to do. But if you can sit there, let me see your insurance. How'd that guy say on the commercial? Insurance officer? Yes, I said insurance. I got Safe Auto. Oh, you driving safe. All right. And you got your license, and it's up to date, and you got your registration, and it's legitimate. They can't mess with you. But if you're not right, then there is a gap that they can come in and snatch you. And I could just see very easy, me and my son, sitting in Oklahoma, calling Deacon Corbin. Hey, man, can you wire me about $300 so I can get out of jail? I mean, that's, you know, I mean, I can see, if nothing else, we was on our way to get held up as far as, you know, our trip was concerned. Saints, when you do the right thing, when you do what's right, they can't mess with you. And if they do mess with you, they got to trump something up. Practical righteousness. And then this last one, I'm not going to spend a lot of time because it's pretty simple. And that's perfect righteousness. That one day when we stand in the presence of God, that we are going to be perfect. And we don't have to worry about Satan. You know, what's that song say? Soon we'll be done with the troubles of this world. You know, and that's the bottom line right there, is that the positional righteousness, God is not going to bring anything against his people. Christ is praying for you. Perfect righteousness, hey, you're going to get that when you get the glory. The practical righteousness, you got to put on the breastplate of righteousness.
Thank you for joining us today on Encourt in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Shoes of the Gospel of Peace from our series, Looking for a Reason to Fight. If you'd like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Breastplate of Righteousness, you can contact us at encourtinjesus.org and request The Breastplate of Righteousness. That's encourtinjesus.org and request us, or call us at 877 877- 831-5060 and request our series, Looking for a Reason to Fight. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.